Every cycle of breath is an opportunity to awaken and to empty. To clear the mirror of the heart and to receive the impressions, the inspiration, the wisdom from the divine. We allow the mind to settle into the heart. Our thoughts become quieter, more still. And so too are emotions. Being aware of each breath, we're also aware of this body. We include awareness of our physical being in this wider field of presence. Presence, we can encompass the experience of being, of having a body, experience of feelings, emotions, awareness of thoughts, and subtler impressions. breath by breath, we sustain this simple presence, this comprehensive awareness. And we may also include a divine name, like Hu, for instance, on each out-breath. That gives the mind something to do, so that it won't take us away with idle thoughts, distract us with chains of thought and memory. And no, we keep coming back to Hu. And we'll join our voices, invoking Hu, Hu, Bismillah. Hu. Silently on the out breath. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome. Nice to see everybody.
So lovely to see everyone. Alhamdulillah. Adelita and Matt send their love. They needed to be with Matt's parents, and Merle sends her love.
Yeah. On Sunday, we spoke about the theme of this month and amplified it a bit, and I wanted to share that again with all of you. The theme was from Mevlana, the interpretation of a sacred text is true if it stirs you to hope, activity, and awe. The interpretation of a sacred text is true if it stirs you to hope, activity, and awe. And what was significant about this and the way we amplified it is to put it in its context in the Mesnevi, because it's such a beautiful context. And I just want you to hear it tonight in order to reference it. And it's what book it's published in of ours, I'm not sure, I forget, but it's book 5 of the Mesnevi. I'll send it to all of you because I have to. Oh, it's in Jewels of Remembrance. Yes. Thank you, Patsia. Jewels of, well, not many people have Jewels of Remembrance, so I'll send it to you because I have to send you some other things as well. So just let me turn on the light here. And if it makes you slack in your service, know the real truth to be this, that it's a distortion of the sense of the saying, not a true interpretation. This saying has come down to inspire you to serve, that God may take the hands of those who have lost hope and deliver them. Ask the meaning of the Quran from the Quran alone, and from that one who has set fire to his idle fancy and extinguished it, and has become a sacrifice to the Quran, bowing low in humbleness, so that the Quran has become the essence of his or her spirit, that essential oil that has wholly devoted itself to the rose. You can either smell that oil or the rose as you please. And let's hear it in your voice, Camille.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The interpretation of a sacred text is true if it stirs you to hope, activity, and awe. If it makes you slack in your service, know the real truth to be this, that it's a distortion of the sense of the saying, not a true interpretation. This saying has come down to inspire you to serve, that God may take the hands of those who have lost hope and deliver them. Ask the meaning of the Quran from the Quran alone, and from that one who has set fire to his or her idle fancy and extinguished it, and has become a sacrifice to the Quran, bowing low in humbleness, so that the Quran has become the essence of his or her spirit, that essential oil that has wholly devoted itself to the rose. You can either smell the oil or the rose as you please.
Yeah. So there's more. You can go to the recording of Sunday if you want to hear more of what happened on Sunday, if you didn't already. But every time I hear this line, that essential oil that has wholly devoted itself to the rose, you can either smell that oil, that essential oil, or the rose itself as you please. This reminds me of all those who have been our teachers, all of them really. They had become that essence, otherwise we would not have fallen in love with them. They became the essence of the rose. So ask the meaning of the Quran from the Quran alone, from that one who has set fire to idle fancy and extinguished it, and has become a sacrifice to the Quran, bowing low in humbleness, so that the Quran has become the essence of his spirit. In Sufi tradition, there is a phrase, Sirri Suluk. It's a phrase that signifies the training of the dervish. And if I were to try to translate it, Sair is a journey. So it's the journey of Suluk. And Suluk is a path of practice. And it is what the Salik who is the seeker, it's what the Salik practices. So sometimes they will say, among dervishes and among sheikhs, they might say, well, has so-and-so completed their suluk? Meaning, have they finished at least the major program of transformation? I'm not sure that program is ever completed, but nevertheless, people sometimes speak in this way. And it implies that there is a training. And the training is not a rigidly defined program that can be laid out step by step as a system. But there are practices and levels of experience, refinements of the nafs, the so-called makams of the nafs. And there are, in other words, there are objective stages that the human being passes through, and these can be recognized by someone who has passed through the stages that they've passed through. So that's the meaning of Sirri Suluk. And Suluk, again, we could call it a path of practice, a pathway of practice. And tonight I wanted to share with you let's call it a Suluk, a pathway of practice that hopefully will be useful to you if you choose to practice it. And it's extremely concise and simple in a way, but let me tell you what it is and explain it a little bit. So it has five steps. And the first step we can call awakening attention. We're in this world. Imagine yourself wherever you are at any moment. But let's say, for instance, it's the fall and you're in the garden. Maybe you're harvesting or you're tending to fallen leaves or whatever it is you're doing outdoors these days. I hope you all get outdoors. I know some of you are working in your gardens these days. Awaken attention. We could just as well say awaken appreciation through the senses. If we say awaken attention, it sounds kind of mental, a bit abstract. If we say awaken appreciation, meaning start paying attention with appreciation for where you are now, right now. And if you're not in your garden, let's say you're waiting in traffic somewhere, you can still do this. Let's say you are just sitting quietly at home. You can still awaken appreciation for the sensory impressions of yourself, your body, your environment. The point is, attention is being awakened. You are intentionally awakening attention. And this is the first step, because much of the time our attention is passive. It's just reacting to whatever. But here we awaken it, we begin to notice with appreciation. And that in itself is something mystical. We used to have a fellow, a dear brother in Santa Cruz, who was always insisting. He says, "I'm just not naturally a mystic." He was, in fact, a great history professor. Really a great history professor, professor of world history. And he actually, while being a Christian and a deacon in his church, had written a faultless history of Islam. He passed it by me. It's in a major textbook published by Norton. And he passed it by and said, "Could you critique this?" I couldn't find anything wrong with it. Anyway, this brother, I'm diverging a little bit, this dear brother, he said he was often say, "I'm just not mystical." And I would say to him, "Maybe you really have a preconception about what it is to be mystical. Maybe it's not what you think. Maybe it's not some supernatural, ethereal experience. Maybe what we mean by mystical is something to be experienced here and now. If we could truly awaken our attention with appreciation, we would have awakened something. We would have, to some extent, awakened the numinous dimension, the sacred dimension of life. It doesn't matter what you call it. First step, awaken attention with appreciation. Second step, be grateful. Now you have something to be grateful for. If you've awakened attention, it's not just an abstract theoretical be grateful. Be grateful that your attention is awakened. Be grateful that you're in this world and you can pay attention wherever you are and benefit from paying attention. Gratitude is the foundational virtue, a virtue from which so many other virtues spring. And again, it is a portal into this mystical dimension. That would be quite a bit to practice if we could do that continually. Imagine living your life continually with an awakened attention and appreciation and gratefulness. The third step, find the still point in yourself. Maybe you need to stop and be still, as we were just a little while ago. But maybe if you've done that often enough as a practice in meditation and contemplation, maybe you can find the still point even in an active life. Find the still point. See these steps as a progression, as a kind of music, as a scale. In this case, it's a pentatonic scale of five notes. Find the still point, the zero point, the point of neutrality, the point where you're neither, where you just are, your being prevails. It's not about a particular state. It's not a state of joy. It's not bliss, nor is it depression or sorrow. And yet within any of those states, the still point is also there, right? If you search for it, the zero point, which is a portal. Actually, it is a portal to the infinite. fourth step. Radiate blessing. You've come this far. You've come to the still point. What will you do with it? You've come into contact with the infinite, with the source, with the mercy of the universe. Radiate blessing, either intentionally, specifically to people you know who need it, who need healing, who need prayer, who need forgiveness, who need courage, or just in general, radiate blessing to this world. Radiate blessing to the United States of America. Radiate blessing to Yemen, to Afghanistan, to France, to UK, to China. Radiate blessing. Radiate blessing to the people in this circle, your families and loved ones. Radiate. You have a heart that can radiate if you intend it to. And finally, step five, commit to your highest aim, your highest aspiration. Commit to your highest aspiration. Listen to the guidance of your higher self. Awaken to your highest calling. Even if you're not sure what that may be, raise the question. At least you know that asking this question allows something to shift, allows something to open that perhaps hasn't opened before. We go stumbling through this world, you know, how we are. Thinking about our problems, our challenges, our needs, and the needs of others and the problems of others, and all of that. Why not shoot for the stars? Why not expand your consciousness to some beautiful purpose? Commit to your highest aim. That's asking a lot. It's asking a lot to even call it to mind, let alone commit to it. So this is a suluk, this is a circle of suluk, a circle of practice. And it can be done in an hour, it can be done in a minute. It can be remembered. And any one of these five steps brings its blessing, can bring a shift in our state, can put us back onto the path of Seder Suluk, that comprehensive journey of the seeker, that you have come to Sufism for. It's a beautiful phrase, Seder Suluk. You are the Salik. You are Saliks, all of you. You're the travelers, wayfarers, journeyers. Don't get stuck. Yes. Next week, I'll remind you of this. We'll check in, not next week, 2 weeks, or whenever it is we're together again. I hesitate to say when it is.
The Thursday after the third
Thursday
Sunday.
Thursday after the third Sunday. We will check in. I'm going to check up on your suluk. And hopefully you'll have something to share with us. Any thoughts, any comments? That's okay. Next week we'll have something to talk about. So I thought I had sent an email to all of you or most of you this morning, and I have this new email program that's been, I don't know, it has some strange aspects. And I found out that even though I'm absolutely sure I pressed send, it wasn't sent. It was sent about 7:20 tonight. And it was telling you that you needed a password to get in tonight. So when you, the password, as you'll find out, is threshold. Zoom now requires a password. Otherwise, whenever somebody comes into the Zoom room, then we have to admit them, which is a chore, especially if there's 200 people, or even if there's 10 people and we're trying to meditate, we have to keep admitting people into the room. So once you have the password threshold, and this is good for Thursday nights and it's good for Sundays, it's good now for all threshold Zoom meetings. Threshold, lowercase, all lowercase, but you'll be getting the email.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. My Thunderbird program became impossible. It just wasn't working, and I had to go and search for another program, and I found one called from, I went from Thunderbird to Canary. I should have known better. But I had to get out of Thunderbird. It just wasn't working. Then I got into Canary. And Canary, I think it's the canary in the coal mine. Maybe that's the problem. But that's why you didn't get your notice on time this morning. So maybe I'll get the canary in the coal mine to be working better gradually. We shall see. But I think you got something to by about 7:20 today. And in addition to housekeeping, I want to tell you that today, yes, I just received my first copy of this book. Okay? In the House of Remembering. So it's available on Amazon and in the House of Remembering. And I hope many of you will get it. And also, if you happen to like it and appreciate it, I ask you to write a little review for Amazon. It makes a huge difference. And recommend it and do all those sorts of things so that this book can be noticed in the world and be appreciated. And I think that so far it has been appreciated. Those who have read it, especially some people read it before it was printed, helped to edit and whatnot.
It's the Sohbets.
It's a 30 transcribed Sohbets with the subtitle, The Living Tradition of Sufi Teaching. And the cover is amazing. Actually, the cover is worth it because This picture was taken at the Rumi Dome in Hesperia, California, about 2002, maybe, something like that. It was built by the students of Nader Khalili. It's a kind of special sort of adobe structure. And it's a beautiful place. And this picture was taken. And when it was taken, I didn't know. I'd never heard of an orb. I didn't know what an orb is. I still don't know what an orb is. But an orb is some kind of mystical thing. Spirits of the unseen. And they appear. And if you can see here and here and here and here, this Rumi Dome is loaded with orbs, which some would think means it's loaded with spiritual energies.
We had a beautiful sema inside.
And we had a sema there, and we made a movie. Actually, the movie Rumi Turning Ecstatic was filmed there. Camille was filmed. If you ever want to see Camille and how beautiful she turned back in the day, it's in Rumi Turning Ecstatic. We'll have to arrange a show, a screening of that sometime. Anyway, the book is now available. And a lot of people worked hard on this transcribing and so forth. So it's available. That's the news. And that-